October 6th, 2019, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter on Yonah.
By Akadosh Baruch Hu, as he continues to judge Bruce Zichrono Livracha, as he will every single person who is alive and every single person who passed away, will be continue to be judged this Yom HaKippurim, and I'm sure that this year will go very far in advancing any decision that Akadosh Baruch Hu has to make about him. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our friend and scholar, wonderful, incredible Talmud Chacham, and most importantly, teacher, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter.
Bershus Mori Varabi, Rabbi Adler, Bershus Mori Varabi, Rabbi Wiener, Bershus Michelle, and Annie, and Yisrael, and Dani, and Talia, members of the family, Rabbi Shaul Robinson, Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald, Rabbi Gidon Rothstein, and other distinguished Rabbanim and members of our community. I feel very humbled that Michelle asked me to share some thoughts in memory of Bruce Zichrono Livracha, Le'ilui Nishmas Baruch Le Ben Mordechai Yidla Kohen V'daba Chaya. I want to structure my remarks around Sefer Yonah, and I want to begin by asking three questions. First question is, why do we read Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur? We know that we read different books on different occasions. We read Rus on Shavuos, and we read Shir HaShirim on Pesach, and we read Koheles on Sukkot, and Eicha on Tisha B'Av. We have a pretty good understanding of the nature of the relationship between the book and the day. But why do we read Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur? Second question is a larger question. Why is Sefer Yonah Bichlal in the Kisvei HaKodesh? Why is this book in the biblical canon? After all, it's a very unusual book. There are no explicit references to Yonah as being a Navi. The entire prophecy is five words. Od arba'im yom v'ninve ne'epoches. The book is about Yonah the person, not Yonah the prophet. It narrates the account of his calling, but not the substance of his prophecy. It has nothing to do with Jews. There's nothing in there about Israel, about Zion, about Yerushalayim, about the redemption of Klal Yisrael, all of those subjects that fill the other biblical books in the canon. Why is this book Bichlal in the Kisvei HaKodesh? And the third question is, why did Yonah run away from God? The face of it, it's quite inappropriate. It's actually not nice, and it's even foolish. If Hashem comes to you and tells you to do something, so you do it. Why is Yonah running away from God? And as we know, that flight was ultimately unsuccessful. So, why do we read Yonah on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says on page 1, at the end of Maseches Megillah, does anybody not have a copy of the handout? There's some extra copies I'll wait a minute just to make sure in the back there are a number of extra copies. Could you just come forward if you don't mind? If you don't have a copy, just please hold your hand. Okay, I think we're good. Okay, thank you. Right here. I'm sorry. Thank you. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Megillah identifies which Kriyas HaTorahs and which Haftorahs are recited on different occasions. The Gemara gives a long list, and then we come B'Yom HaKippurim, Korin Acharei Mos, U'Maftirin, Kicho Amar, Ram V'Nisa, underlined, U'B'Mincha Korin Ba'arayos, U'Maftirin B'Yona. So we're already told in the Gemara that Yona is the book to be read Mincha for the Haftorah on Yom Kippur. Why did we read Yona? Look at Rashi, Korin Ba'arayos on the bottom right. Why did we read Arayos, the Parsha of Arayos, for the Kriyas HaTorah? Shemi She'esh Averos B'yado Yifrosh Mehen. We want to make sure that as Yom Kippur is winding down, anybody who has Averos should remove himself from them. Lefi, why dafka Arayos? Lefi Sho Arayos Avera Mitzuya. It's a common sin. Our evil inclination is very powerful. So there's a chance that if we did a sin, we did a sin that relates to that category. And so therefore we choose this category at Mincha. Notice there's nothing here about why Maftirin Biona, only why Korin Ba'arayas. Look at Tosfos. Second Tosfos, Dibra Maschil, B'mincha, Korin Ba'arayos, Lefisha Hanashim Mekoshtos, B'shvil Kvod Hayom. And I don't really understand. The women get all dressed up because of the honor of the day. Lefichach Tzarech Lahaskiram Shelo Yichshelu Bohen. Somehow one thing may lead to another. I don't really get it. It's Yom Kippur. One thing may lead to another. It shows the power of the potential Avera, and so therefore we have to watch out. Ubemedrish Yesh, Shelekach Korin Ba'arayos, Lefi Sheyisrael Osen Remez LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekashem Shehizhir Osam, Shelo Legalos Erva, just like God told us that we should not be Megala Erva, we should not uncover nakedness. So therefore, we now want to give a hint and a request to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Kach Lo Tegala Ervasam Ba'avonosam. God should not uncover our nakedness, our embarrassment. And so therefore, we read the Parsha of Arayos on Mincha and Yom Kippur. Notice once again, no explanation. Why do we read Sefer Yonah for the Haftorah? Okay, I get the Kriyas HaTorah, but I don't get the Haftorah. Page 2, this halacha is quoted in the Tur. There's a lot of Hebrew here, I'll translate everything. Umotzi en Sefer Torah, Simitof of Beis, Hilchas Yom HaKippurim. Umotzi en Sefer Torah, top of page 2, V'karen Bo Gimel, B'parshas Arayos, Atzof HaParsha, V'ashlishi Hu Maftir Biyona. Says the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in his commentary on the Torah, in the bottom left in this section, Umaftir Biyona, he explains the choice of Arayos, Umaftir Biyona, Lefi Sheyesh Ba'godel Koach HaTshuva. So now we have an explanation. Why do we read the book of Yona? We read the book of Yona because, wow, look at the Koach, the power of Tshuva. Anshei Nineveh is doomed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do tshuva, and they actually listen. And everything is turned around. Look at the power of tshuva. What better time to read a book that highlights the power of tshuva than Mincha and Yom Kippur? This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef Karo himself later on wrote the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tofresh Chav Beis, Seif Beis, Umotzi and Sefer Torah, the bottom half of the page. V'korim shlosha b'parshas Arayos at Sof HaParsha, v'ashlishi maftir biyona. Says the Be'er Heitev on the bottom right, all the way at the bottom on the right. Rabbi Yehuda Ashkenazi, commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, who lived in the 18th century, Biona, Zivkot and Gimel, three lines from the bottom on the right. The older I get, the tinier the letters become. I apologize. Those of you who are younger, Baruch Hashem, don't really understand what I'm saying, but they bestet helfen. Biona, Lefi Sheyesh Bo Koach Hatshuva, the same answer that we saw in the Beis Yosef. And then he adds, Ushein Yecholin Levroach Me'Hashem Yisbarach. He quotes the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, 16th century Poland. Second answer. You think you could run away from God? You can't run away from God. You may be tempted to want to run away from God. You don't want to be in front of God on Yom Kippur. You want to hide. You want to remove yourself. It's not going to happen. You can't run away from God. We have two explanations why we read Yonah Mincha and Yom Kippur, Koyach HaTshuva, and don't think for a second you could run away from God. What these two answers have in common is that they are what I would call anthropocentric, which means that they are human-oriented. A human being has to do tshuva. A human being can't imagine and can't think, can't have a hava mina that they could run away from, they can't escape. But I'm going to want to suggest what I call a theocentric reason, which means it has to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the center, theocentric, as opposed to anthropocentric. I want to address now the question of why did Yonah run away? Why did Yonah run away? Why is this book in the biblical canon? I'm going to suggest a mahalach and say for Yonah that I think will address these issues. Why did Yonah run away? Top of page three. Vayera Lukim es Maaseim, the end of the third chapter, beginning of the fourth chapter. When it's all over, Vayera Lukim es Maaseim kishavu midarkom hara'o. They actually repented. Vayinochem Elokim al hara asher diber lasos lohem velo osa. And Hashem regretted. Vayinochem Elokim, he regretted originally. Od Abraham yom v'ninvei ne'apaches. Now they did tshuva. God changed his mind. He regretted it of the bad things that he was going to say. At which point, Perek Dalet. Vayera el Yonah ro'o gedola vayichalo. As soon as Ninveh does tshuva, Yonah gets very upset, and he gets angry. Vayispalelo l'Hashem vayomar, Ana, please, Hashem, halozeh devor ad hayosi al admasi. This is what I meant. This is what I was worried about when I was still at the beginning of the story. When you came to me and you told me to go to Ninveh. Alken kidamti levorach tarshisha. This is why I ran away. This is why I didn't want to do what it is that you asked me. Ki adati. I want to die horrible. Here's why I ran away. My worst fears were actually realized. Zuck Rashi. Why did he run away? Vayera El Yonah. Omar Achshav Yomru Ha'akum Shani Navi Sheker. What did I say? I said no uncertain terms. Od Abraham Yom, Ninveh Ne'apaches. In 40 days, it's over. What happened? It didn't happen. They're all going to think that I'm a lawyer. All of the Umos Ha'olam, the Akum Shani Naveh Sheker. Next Rashi. Halo Zed Devari. Yodeya Ani Ainu Shim Yachzeru B'tshuva Lo Tachariva. Ve'eye Shakran. Be'enehem. Yonah ran away because he would look bad. He ran away because he didn't want to have anything to do with this. He was worried that they would do tshuva, and if they would do tshuva, he would, in retrospect, turn out to be a liar. If you look at the Medrash to Tanchuma and the Medrash to Psichta to Echa on the left and at the bottom, the Medrash gives another reason why he ran away. Not so much of a self-serving reason. Amar Yonah, Lefichach Amar Yonah, a few lines on the left side on the top. Hagoyim miyad yasu tshuva. If I go to them, they're going to do tshuva right away. V'yihye rodzo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael, and the Jews are going to look bad. God is going to get angry at the Jews. Sheyemer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hagoyim Shelo Nosati Lam Chukim U'Mishpatim. They don't have an intimate personal relationship with me. Be'eshani Gozer Aleim Gzeira Vehem Yodim Miyadein Shavim. I have nothing to do with them. I have no connection with them. But with them, all I have to do is say, do tshuva. And they're jumping up and down. They're doing tshuva. Miyadein Shavim B'Yisrael Luchim. Shemachalais ani sholech lohem nivi'ai, v'hem kishay oref. The Jews are not doing tshuva. So by contrast, it's going to look bad for the Jews. So that's why he ran away. He didn't want that. He was worried about himself. He's worried about Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a kitrug for Klal Yisrael. Look at the psichta te'avi echad. At the end of the second line, shalachti leninve v'achzira b'tshuva. V'ilu Yisrael b'Yerushalayim kama nevi'im. Shalachti aleim, and he quotes a whole bunch of psukim, and in the next of the last line, v'lo shamu elai. We find the same rationale in the Radak at the bottom of page 3. The same thing. Ki Omar Yona, it's 6-7 lines from the bottom. Hagoyim krovim l'tshuvahem. V'im eleich aleim b'shlichos hakel yisborach yoshuvu midarcheihem horoim. They're krovim l'tshuva. They're more sensitive to this. They're closer to this. And if I come to them, they're going to do tshuva. V'yachayvu Yisrael b'zeh. Sh'ani v'hanevi'im acherim holchem aleim tamud b'shlichas akel yisbarach v'einam shavu midarkam hara l'ficha choya mima'ein l'leches b'shlichas zeh. Why did Yonah run away? Number one, because he didn't want to be embarrassed. Number two, he didn't want the Jewish people to be embarrassed. I have another suggestion why I think Yonah ran away, and I think this is the fulcrum around which the entire book operates. I think the reason why Yonah ran away is because Yonah operates the concept of justice and with the concept of Midas Hadin. And he felt that Nineveh deserved to be destroyed. That Nineveh should not have been allowed to have a second chance. Nineveh deserved absolute, utter destruction. You do something wrong, you're responsible for it. He doesn't understand the notion of tshuva. What is the notion of tshuva? You did it. You hurt somebody. You ate what you shouldn't have eaten. You pushed into Shabbos when you shouldn't have pushed into Shabbos. Whatever it is that you did. So now I feel bad. I really feel bad. And I sincerely and genuinely feel bad. And I go through all the stages. Charata, busha, kabbalah, everything. But what happened to what you did? Where did it go? It didn't go away. How do you do tshuva? If you do something wrong, Nineveh did something wrong. Nineveh has to be punished. Look at the lashon, top of page 4. What was the text? I already repeated it a few times. Vayochal Yonah Lovo Beir Mahalach Yom Echad. He went a distance of one day's journey. Vayikra Vayomer Od Aborim Yom Veninve Ne'epoches. He uses a particular word that has association for us who know the Bible. Ne'epoches. What comes to mind? He doesn't say destroyed in another way. Ne'epoches, it's going to be uprooted, it's going to be turned upside down. What was turned upside down? Zot the Radak, in the first wide line, U'belechti be'ir, u'belechto bo'ir ha'yakore va'omer, o darbor miyom v'ninve ne'epoches retzulomar, k'mahapechas sedom va'amora. Pasuk says in Devarim, k'mahapechas sedom va'amora in Perek Chavtas. And the pasuk concludes, "Asher hafach Hashem ba'apo v'chamoso." This is it. The jig is up. It's over. You're gonna have the same stuff as Sodom and Amorah. Look at the Mitzudas David. Kishehizchel lovo bi'ir mahalech yom. When he was a day away, Karav Omar, he started to call out, "Hine yesh od zman arboim yom." Then another 40 days. Va'acharze. Tihye ninve nehepoches ratzalomar kimahapechas sedom va'amora. Utterly, totally, rubbed out, destroyed, engansen destroyed. Meyesh La'ayin. First it existed, it's not going to exist anymore. And we in our slichas at the bottom of page 4 in Sedalia make reference to the intensity of the power of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Es Hashem bihimotzo ledosho kidamti. I got up early to be able to seek Hashem where Hashem is found. Ba'ar avonos lechaper. I am asking him for kapara for my avonos. Ki chatola ne'edamti. I'm reddened with sin like the scarlet thread. Gulgal halev v'tumtam. My heart is overturned and obstructed. Uchi yoshen nirdamti. I'm sleeping. Kima'at. Kisdom ha'isi, ula amora damisi, ot, I'm holding by mamish ahorala away from Sodom and Amora. That's the paradigm of absolute and utter destruction. Yonah considered this whole enterprise to be a total miscarriage of justice. How could it be? It's not fair. It's not din. And this was more than he could bear. Take a look at the top of page 5. What does Yonah say? I read it before and now I want to highlight one particular word. Vayera Yonah ro gadol, after they do tshuva, he's beside himself. Yonah is a wreck. Vayichalo, vayispalo al Hashem, ana Hashem, top of 5, haloze devori, ad hayosi al adnasi. This is what I was worried about. Al ken kidanti levarach tarshisha ki odati. Kiato, listen carefully. Kael, Chanun, Verachum, Erech, Apayim, Verav, Chesed. What's missing? The next word. The next word is that we've said it dozens of times. He doesn't say Emes because he doesn't believe that Hashem is Hashem Emes. It's not Emes. What was Yonah's name? Yonah ben Amittai. Jonah, the son of truth. Truth says, if you do it, you're responsible. Where does it go? It doesn't go away. Our generation, our time, 2019, we understand this maybe better than anybody. I beg my students, don't put it on Facebook. Don't put it on Twitter. Don't send the email because it's going to haunt you. Because it's going to haunt you. You think you deleted the emails? You didn't delete the email. The email is flying around in the Olamis or Yainim. The email is accessible. You may remember, we recently had an election for the President of the United States and one of the candidates. A whole email parsha. It was 10 years ago. It was deleted 100 times. Nothing. Once you do it, you do it. Where does it go? We understand very well, you can't get rid of it. I tell my students, you should know that when you want to get into graduate school, when you want to get a job, they're going to look at your online presence. And if you posted something in a fit of anger or thinking you were cute, it's going to come back and haunt you. Just be careful, because it doesn't go away. Yonah understood this very well. And therefore Yonah runs away because it's not fair, it's not right. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Yonah otherwise. And I think that's why we read the book at Mincha and Yom Kippur, and I think that's why this entire book is included in the biblical canon. Hashem teaches that tshuva, you're right, 100% right. It's not logical. It's not rational. Doesn't make any sense. Defies logic. You're 100% right. Where did it go? But I am telling you that I'm going to give you a gift. And that gift is called tshuva. And I'm giving humanity a gift. And that gift is called tshuva. Because I'm a kel racham v'chad. Because I'm a baal chesed. I want to give you a gift. Look at the Yerushalmi in Makos. It's a strange place for this statement. Yerushalmi in Perek Beis in Maseches Makos. Bottom of page 5. Shalu lechachma. Chotei mahu oncho. They went to wisdom and they said to wisdom, what happens What happens if you do, somebody sins? Amr lahem chatam terade fra'a. They should be pursued by evil. It's logical. Chachma says you do something wrong, you fess up. You're responsible. That's it. You should be pursued by evil. Shalu l'nevua chote mahu oncho. Amr lahem hanefesh hachatas itamus. Who's the nevua? Yonah. Hanefesh hachatas. Yonah hanavi. Hanefesh hachatas itamus. Prophecy says, you do something, you're responsible. Where does it go? Doesn't go anywhere. It haunts you. You have to pay back. Shalu l'kutcha berichu chote mahu oncho. Amr lahem yaseh tshuva v'yizchaper. Hashem says, you're 100% right. It's not Chachma. It's not Nevuah. Lefi the Mahalach of Chachma, lefi the Mahalach of Nevuah. Rub him out. Rub, kill him. Kill him. Pursue evil. But I'm telling you, Shalu l'kutche b'richu. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Yaina, you misunderstand. You're right, logically. But we don't operate in the realm of logic. Chote, Mahu oncho, sha'alu l'kutcha b'richu? Amar lahen yaseh tshuva v'yizchaper. Theocentrism. It's all about God. The reason why we read it is not because we have to do tshuva. It's not because we can't run away. It's because God gave us a gift. God gave us a gift. And this gift is so profound that it absolutely violates logic, rationale, reason, makes no sense whatsoever. I believe that this is hinted at the top of page 6. The Medrash tells us that the existence of tshuva predated the creation of the world. Bereishis bara Elokim, shisha devarim, kadmu lebriyas haolam. There are 6 things that existed even before the world was created, before Briyas HaOlam. Yesh men shenivru, yesh men sha'olu b'machshava lihibaros. There are 6 things that are in the parsha, in the realm of having preceded the creation of the world. HaTorah, Kisei HaKavod, Avos, Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, Moshe HaMashiach. Then at the bottom, Rabbi Ava, Berebi Ze'era Omar, Af HaTshuva. Tshuva was created, existed before the creation of the world. And we say it in the Slichas, top left of page 6. Horesa derech tshuva lebasa shoveva. To your wayward daughter, to your wayward children, namely us, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have taught the way of tshuva. You taught it to us. We could never, ever have come to such a conclusion. Ben kesa la'asar, adecha la'shuva. We want to return to you specifically, Dafka, now, right now where we find ourselves in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu, Hashem Elecha V'Noshuva, Az Me'az Mikedem Hikdamta Tshuva. Way back from old, before, old and old, you made Tshuva first, B'terem Him Tachta Eretz V'Yesode Reguva, before you stretched out the heavens and the earth, you already made tshuva. And the way I understand this is because Chazal are teaching us that tshuva doesn't operate the way the world operates. The world acts with nature. Sun rises, sun sets. There's a certain mahalach, there's a certain set of expectations, certain logic, certain organizational structure. But tshuva is transcendental. Tshuva is not bound by. It's not underneath, it's not determined by the way the world operates. It operates in a category all by itself. And therefore we read Yonah, and therefore Yonah is in the canon, and therefore, because he did not understand this, is the reason why Yonah ran away, which brings me to the end of the story. The end of the story, it's an enigmatic end of the story, the end of the Sefer of Yonah, end of chapter 4. The story about the Kikoyo. So there's a kikoyom. We don't know exactly what it is. Rashi says it's a kind of a leafy, shady plant, and Yonah seeks protection under the kikoyom. We're now in the middle of page 6, and he's very happy about the kikoyom. And then God designates a worm, and it attacks the kikoyom, and there is no kikoyom, and it gets very hot, and Yonah is very upset, and he's ready to die. And Hashem says to him, "Ha'heitev choralach al hakikoyom." Said yes. Vayomer Hashem, "Ato chasto al hakikoyom, asher lo amalta bo velo gidalto, asher bin laila hoyo bin laila avod." You were so invested in this kikoyon chasta. You were so caring about this kikoyon. You had nothing to do with the creation of this kikoyon. You had nothing to do with the sustaining of this kikoyon. You were so excited about this kikoyon. You cared so much about this kikoyon, and I shouldn't care about human beings that I created. I shouldn't take pity. Again, chasta, ochus, al ninve ha'ir ha'gadola. I run the world differently than you. There's something called achus. There's something called rachmanis. I don't see the world the way you do. And here you're all excited and you're all upset. Why are you upset? What happens, happens. But you're upset. So why should I not care? And why should I not extend myself on behalf of human beings? And therefore my way of understanding, says Hashem, to Yonah is totally different. How does the book end? It's a very weird ending. V'ani lo ochus al nidvei ha'ir ha'gadola, asher yesh b'harbe mishteim esrei ribo odom, asher yoda ben yemino l'smolo, u'behema rabba, kadosh d'rabbana. Behema rabba, kadosh d'rabbana. What kind of an ending is this? And in fact, we're not happy with this ending, because right afterwards, we pour in such vayam aziz of vaylupsukim. We go and we cannibalize from Micha, Mikael, Kamecha, Noisei Avam. Since when do we add to a biblical book? We read Sefer Yonah, end of Sefer Yonah, we're done. No, we're not happy. It's a mud the answer. It's a mud the ending. What was Yonah's response? It ends with Behema Rabba. You have to be chos on Behema Rabba. What's Yonah's response to this? The text is unclear. The conclusion is inconclusive. The book ends with a question. Yonah's reaction is a thundering silence. So did he get the message? Did he not get the message? The whole point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to show Yonah you got it all wrong. Because we have to worry about Nineveh. Because Nineveh is a lot of people and a lot of animals. Okay, now what? End of the book, finished. So the Yalkut Shimoni at the bottom of the page fills in the blank. Ba'oso Shah Nafal Al Panav. But all the way at the end, the last Yalkut Shimoni in Sefer Yonah. Ba'oso Shah Nafal Al Panav, Yonah fell down for Amar, and he said, "You know what, God? You're 100% right. Hanheg Olamcha. B'midas rachman. You run your world differently than what I thought. You run your world with midas rachman." But it's not in the book. It's not in the book. It occurred to me, thinking about this, that I think that the book of Yonah does not end with the last pasuk. It occurred to me that the book of Yonah ends in the white space after the last pasuk. And it occurred to me, therefore, that Yonah wrote his ending. Yonah wrote his ending according to the Yalkut Shimoni. God, you're right. You know what? A human being can change. And it's up to us to write our ending, our own ending, in the white space after the last pasuk in the book of Yonah. We write, each one of us, are given a place to write our own ending, our own Sefer Yonah. It's up to us to fill up the book in our own personal, how do we live our lives? In this empty space, the book doesn't end with Behemoth Rabbah. The book ends with the room, the whiteness of the space after Behema Rabba, and it's up to us. They didn't put in Yonah's response because they wanted us, each of us, to write our own response, to leave room for our response. How do we live our lives in the light of the end of Sefer Yonah? Are we locked into our past behavior? Or can we change? Hanheg Olamcha B'midas HaRachamim. There's so much about books during these days. Kosvenu b'sefer hachayim. B'sefer chayim bracha v'shalom. Avinu malkeinu kosvenu b'sefer chayim tov. Avinu malkeinu kosvenu b'sefer ge'ula v'yishua. Avinu malkeinu kosvenu b'sefer parnasa v'chalkala. Avinu malkeinu kosvenu b'sefer slicha u'mechila. The rabbinic image, Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei, the opposite of Chaim, Psuchim Lufanov. So there's a book in Shem, maybe more than one book, and we want to be inscribed in the good book. But we also have a book. On earth, now, we have our own Sefer HaChaim, our own book that we write, that we inscribe, that we fill in, and that we note the values and the behaviors that govern our lives. We gather today to remember how Bruce Ritholtz, Zichrono Livracha, wrote his own version of the end, the white space of Sefer Yonah. What did he write in his Sefer HaChaim? 5 years have elapsed. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe 5 years have elapsed since his passing. And we continue to remember him with extraordinary fondness and very deep respect. Bruce's Sefer HaChaim had many chapters. Closeness with his immediate family, with Michelle, with his incredible children, with Annie and Donnie and Talia and Yisrael. Where's Yisrael? He would have loved you too. What he meant to them and what they meant to him, what he did for them, the fun weekday meals and the fun Shabbos meals, and not just the fun, but the substance. What does Shabbos mean? What does Shabbostik mean? What is Kiddush and Zmiris and games and Havdalah, standards of what Shabbos is supposed to be. Michelle, you held your children high and close these last 5 years with your dignity and your quiet strength and the force of your determined but gentle personality and the power of your faith. And you were a team for your life with Bruce Zichrono Livracha. And your role, like his, in the raising of your outstanding children is indescribable. There's a chapter in Bruce's Sefer HaChaim and his relationship with his parents. We welcome his father, Arthur, Tibadla ben Chaim L'Chaim, Dorothy, Alea Shalom, with siblings, with Stacy and Howard, David and Robin, and their children, and their extended family, the closeness to Michelle's parents and your family, the visits, the Pesachs, the Sukkoses, the Sdorim, the jokes, the laughing. It's a powerful chapter in Bruce's Sefer HaChaim. There's a chapter in Bruce's Sefer HaChaim of his Avodas Hashem. He had a passion for davening. He loved to daven. His personal davening was very deliberate and careful and sincere. And also as a Shaliach Tzibur, he was a maniac for Nusach, a stickler for nusach, matter to him. He took seriously his role as a Kohen. To be a Kohen for him was central to his identity. And I think it's partially because he loved to give brachos, because he loved people, and because he loved to try to help people. He was committed to Talmud Torah. Rabbi Adler mentioned to Daf Yomi, he loved learning, loved shul, and he loved Hashem. There's a chapter in Bruce's Sefer Achayim on his Esek, B'Tzorchei Tzibur, together with O, on both sides of the Hudson River, as Rabbi Adler mentioned, the Lincoln Square Synagogue and Manhattan Day School. And in TABC, in Mayanot, and in Rinat. There's a chapter on Bruce and Michelle as Balei Tzedakah. Lead gifts, first one in, fully engaged. Generosity beyond comprehension. Those that we know about, and many, many more that we don't know about. Bruce Achronu Levracha wrote many chapters in his Sefer HaChaim. But there were many more that remained to be written. And the Sefer HaChaim of Bruce's life ended much too soon. We remember him and we miss him. We continue deeply to be impacted by him. In the last number of months, Dani wrote his own book, focusing on his own personal relationship with his father. It is an extraordinary and remarkable book. Structured around letters and emails, both real and imagined, that others exchanged with Bruce, wrote to him or received from him. Dani blessed me with the opportunity to be able to read the book, and I was deeply moved. And with Donnie's permission, I want to conclude with a quote from Donnie's book. This is the 20th entry. It's entitled Reputation on the 14th Tee, July 6, 2010. Dear Dad, I see you smiling. Camp Masorah is going really well. I'm having a great time, but I think I'm only going to stay 1 month in the end. I want to thank you for the conversation we had right before I left for camp. It was the one we had on the golf course. That round I was playing really well and had a chance to beat you, parenthesis, even if you won't admit it, end parenthesis, which has never happened before. You probably remember how focused and locked into the round I was. We drove away from the 13th hole at Lockmore to the 14th. It's really a beautiful hole with the tee box on a hill that looks down at the long green fairway. On the left side is that lake that I and sometimes you have hit many a ball in. It was glistening due to the sun that was just starting to head towards the horizon. You stopped the golf cart right before the tee box and said, Donnie, let's have a talk. I had no clue what you were going to say. You looked at me a bit intensely, but still with a caring look in your eyes. Quote, Donnie, my grandfather, your great-grandfather, who I was named after, used to tell Zaida something all the time. He used to say, the most important thing you have in life is your reputation. You know why? Because when you leave this world, it's the only thing you leave behind. When you leave this world, it's the only thing you leave behind. What a life Bruce lived. What a Sefer HaChaim he wrote. What, together with Michelle, an incredible, extraordinary family they produced. What a reputation Bruce left behind. Le'ilui nishmas, baruch leib, ben mordechai yidla kohen, v'dobo chayo. Tehei nishmasa tzrura b'tzrur hachay.
And Beinanim, Tluim Vaindim, Adya Makikuri, Zokolo, Nichtivain Lichai. Doesn't say Venechtamim Lichai by the Beinanim. It says the Gaon, because it's not Emes. And Yom Kippur, based on Emes.